it's something that God's put on my heart, and maybe some of you have been aware of some things that have been going on. If you were to ask somebody today, especially those people that do not go to church, what is the face of Christianity? Or who is the face, perhaps, is a better way to say that. Now, my generation and the generation before us would have said one name and one name only. Who would have been the first name would have come to your mind would have been Billy Graham. That would have been the face of Christianity, especially for those people that don't go to church. Today, it's a different face. And yet, it's probably one that most of them would say when you talk about church, this would be the guy that they would think of because you see him everywhere. This guy's the pastor of the largest church in the country. He's written 13 books. 7 of them became bestsellers. He's on television constantly. And recently, he did an interview with Larry King. It's actually maybe about a year or two ago. And there were some things that were said that were very disturbing. And disturbing for the primary reason that when asked about some very specific things that the Bible says, he gave very ambiguous and very non-specific answers. Things that the Bible is very specific about. And one in particular was this. He was asked, is Jesus Christ the only way to get to heaven? And his answer to Larry was just simply this. That's up for God to decide. Now, two things about that came to my mind immediately. The first one is this. The answer that he gave, in the broadest sense, was correct. That was the correct answer. Because everything is up to God, is it not? Everything. Everything is up to God. But the thing that was not said that was disturbing was that God's already answered that. God's already given the answer to that. Because in John 14:6, Jesus is talking to Judas, or I'm sorry, not to Judas, to Thomas, the poster child of doubt. If you look up a dictionary, it says doubt. It says see Tom, see Thomas. So Jesus is talking to Thomas, and in 14:6, Thomas is saying, Jesus, how are we supposed to know the way of where we're supposed to go? You know what Jesus said to him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, through me. God already answered that question. And so this man's on Larry King, this pastor's on Larry King, and he says, well, he said, that's up to God to decide. Because the guy said, very specifically, what about Mormons? What about the Muslims? What about those who don't say that God is even relevant in our lives? Do they get to go to heaven? He said, well, that's up to God. God already made the call. God's already said what the answer to that is. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Here was my problem with that. Every person that watched that interview, especially those that were not Christians, now are convinced, you know what? Any way I get there is okay. And for most people that don't go to church, the way that they're going to think that is just simply this. If I'm good, if I do nice things, if I don't steal candy from children, if I don't push little old ladies down in the street, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Now, you've heard me say this to you many times, and many of you still may not believe this. There are going to be a lot of really good people in hell. That's something that's hard to think about. I understand that. It's hard to conceive that. You mean God's going to allow a good person to go to hell? Well, the fact of the matter is, God doesn't want anybody not to be his child. He said, I don't want any of them to perish. I don't want to lose anybody. And so he made the way through Jesus Christ, but then we have the responsibility to accept him as our Lord and Savior. And this is why, time after time, at the end of our services, I keep saying, if you have never done that, you must do that. You must believe in the name of Jesus Christ to be going to heaven. Now, what I am saying right now would make a lot of people really mad. A lot of people angry. Because in our culture today, obviously, you cannot speak in absolutes of truth and false. You can't speak in white or black, light or dark, right, wrong. Because everything in our culture today basically is permissible, is it not? You can do pretty much whatever you want to do. And how dare you tell me that I can't do that? All you got to do, folks, is turn on CNN. All you have to do is just turn on any news station today, even just look online for 5 minutes, and you see what it is that's taking place. Satan is having a field day right now. There is so much hate. There is so much animosity. There is so much anger. I get online and I look through the news things and all that. It's hard for me to look at any of that for more than about 35 seconds because it just begins to grieve my spirit. It just gets hard to even believe that we can treat each other that way. And yet when we have a man who is in a position of such prominence today that comes and says, you know, any way you get to God is pretty much okay. He was questioned about some of the other things, about abortion, about homosexuality, about some of these other things that are the hot topics in the culture today, and churches are more and more moving further and further away from talking about it because we don't want to upset anybody. We don't want our offering box to suffer. And in reality, what we are doing is we are feeding into the dumbing down of the church today. Church, we have got to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you what that means so that you don't leave here going, wait a minute, you didn't tell me it was going to be like that. If you take a stand for Jesus Christ today, here's what you're going to have to deal with as a 21st century Christian. It means you're going to walk out of the mainstream of social thought. This is not what social thought is today. It means that you are going to be called all kinds of vile names. All kinds of names you're going to be called. You're going to be called a bigot. You're going to be called narrow-minded. You're going to be called a hater. You're going to be called all of these things because the way our world denotes things is if I do not agree with Pete, then I hate him. That's the logic of our world today. If I don't agree with what Judy thinks, I hate her. I'm terrified of her. I'm scared of her because of what she thinks. The next thing that's going to happen, it means that you may lose some relationships. You may lose some friends. You may even lose a family member as someone that you used to be able to be with, and now because of the stand that you're taking for Jesus Christ, they don't want anything to do with you anymore. Last thing then, it means that taking a stand means that you're going to be on the narrow path while everybody else is telling you you're wrong. That's what it means today, church, to take a stand for Jesus Christ. It's why today so many churches are getting further and further away of preaching about the truth of God's gospel, and they're talking about how to feel good, how to be successful, how to have lots of money, how to have all of these things. Can I tell you, the Bible never promised us any of those things. What the Bible promises is that He will never leave us or forsake us. It promises us that everywhere that we go, He is there with us, giving us strength, giving us power, giving us ability, not always to be overcoming the situation. Because I got to tell you what, even though the Bible tells us we are more than conquerors, there have been some times where I've gotten beaten up pretty good. Was that God's fault? No, it wasn't. But I've been allowed to walk through some things in my life, and I'll tell you what the primary reason of that's been. It's so that I would rely and trust in Him more. Trust in Him more. And church, this is nothing new. This is not new, because back in John 15, verses 18 to 19, listen to these words. This is Jesus talking. He says to His disciples, "If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." Church, if you are more interested in going along with the flow, if you're more interested in being a part of the common thinking of the culture today, you're going to be walking away from the things of God. You're going to have to make a choice. You cannot ride the fence. What does the Bible say? What did He say? He said, if you're neither hot nor cold, what does God say? It's kind of a graphic description. He says, "I spit you out of my mouth." You get that visual? That's like taking a sip and go, ah, spit that out. Any of you ever drank sour milk and didn't know it was sour? Oh, that's lovely. Chunkies, yes. It's awesome. I know, everybody's just shuddering right now. I was going to save that till we ate, but I thought I'd say that now. That's the visual of that. He says, if you're not going to be either hot nor cold, I don't want anything to do with you. Make a choice. Those of you old enough to remember Bob Dylan. Some of you got young guys do too. But back when Bob Dylan was big, he said, you got to serve somebody. You're going to have to serve somebody. Church, that's what we have to do here. We got to make a decision. Can I encourage you this morning? Stand firm in the things of God. When someone asks you a question about right or wrong, tell them what the Bible says. You say, Pastor Dave, what if they get mad at me? And? What if they call me names? So? Jesus had to endure all of these things and so much more. How much less should we do? He has given us our salvation. He's given us eternity with Him. Now, I know it's no fun to have to walk in that kind of a situation, but I'll tell you something I have noticed, because this has happened to me more than once. In playing a lot of softball, you don't get the most godly guys playing softball. Dave, I don't know if that's true, if you've seen that or not. Probably. Yeah. It's a rough group. It can be a tough group. And most of them have known that I'm a Christian, and when I was pastoring, they've known that I'm a pastor. So they would still swear, but then they would go, ooh, sorry, Reverend. Didn't see you standing there. Apologize for that. And I usually said the same thing. That's okay. I know the word. I've heard it before. No, it doesn't. I'm sorry. I know. You were sitting right there. That was friendly fire. Sorry. I didn't mean to. But that's right. But people understand that if you're willing to take a stand and you're not going to waver on things, they will eventually, I promise you, come around to it, at least not respect you. They'll at least begin to let you alone. But I'll tell you what, to be able to stand for the kingdom, there's nothing greater than that, church. To be able to stand before Jesus Christ someday and for God to be able to say to us, enter in, my good and faithful servant, that's what I want to hear Him say to me. I want to know that when I go to bed at night that I have done absolutely everything I can for the kingdom of God and what He's called me to do. And so the Messiah students, listen, I know, again, supposed to be a Christian college. It is, but there's a lot of very non-Christian things going on. That happens at every school. Stand your ground. Don't be pulled into the things that are going on that you know you should not be a part of. Be a light in a dark place. Wherever it is that you are at work, I know it's easy sometimes to just get so upset with people. You've heard me say this. The guy that works with you is on your last nerve at 8:04 in the morning, and you've got another 8 hours with him. Stand your ground. Be firm in the things of God to know that He's called you to be somebody set apart from the rest of the world. Amen. Listen, just because a church is big, just because a guy is very well known, I shared this with you in the past, be careful. Know what they stand for. Know what it is that they're saying before you go, that's somebody that I want to follow. Because if they're truly men of God, what they're telling you is, don't follow me, follow the one I'm following. That's who we keep our eyes on. Amen? Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You for the opportunity to be together today. And I thank You, Father, that You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, God, I pray for every single one of my brothers and sisters. And I pray in the name of Jesus that they would receive such an inpouring of the Holy Spirit that they would be able to, in the face of people coming against them, in the face of adversity, when somebody is presenting an opportunity to them and there's just something in their spirit, the Holy Spirit is saying that's not what you should be doing, that they would stand for You. And to know, God, that when we do that, that we are walking truly as a man or a woman of God should walk. And so, Father, I thank You. In those times when we do fall, when we do fail, Lord, the enemy wants to come, and he's the one that tempts us. He's the one that gets us to move in that direction. And then he comes back, and he tells us what a rotten Christian we are. God, we're not going to listen to that. Yes, I am a sinner, but I am saved by Your grace. And so, God, when I come to You and I confess my sins, the Bible tells me that You are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. And so it's in that, Father, that we have our hope, that we have our future, and we have our joy. And so, God, I thank You for today. And I thank you, God, for each and every one that have come here today. I pray blessing over them. And God, as we continue just to fellowship together, God, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, I pray all of these things. Amen. Amen.